Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who have listened to the show before. I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thanks. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 049 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast, recorded on September 12th, 2011. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. How was your week? I have to say, the week leading up to yesterday was a hard one for me. Being so geographically close to New York City, perhaps the events of 9/11/2001 stung us just a little more than those people in some other areas. All of us around here, or all of my friends anyway, know people who either never returned home or know someone who lost someone to the day. So for me, even when the sky is a particular rare shade of blue, I still refer to it as 9/11 blue, because the colors and sounds, words and images of that day were so profound. It's still very painful and still profound. So this was a rather hard week for me, and yesterday was the toughest of all of those days. On a lighter note, my great plan to play and review an Epiphone EL00 was a fail. No guitar shop in my areas have one. A lot of them have online stores that offer them, but I'm surely not going to buy the guitar to play it. So I will continue to look around, and if there's anywhere I can play one and review it, I will keep you posted. During a lesson with my student Hugo this past week, I was telling him about the Assads, a Brazilian brother duo who often play a four hands on one guitar encore. And when he went to YouTube to take a look for himself, he looked around at some other four-hand duo playing guitarists. And when I saw him this past week, he had a YouTube video for me to watch, which I will link to in my show notes, of another Brazilian duo of Siqueira Lima. And if you haven't seen this video of them playing Tico Tico, four hands on one guitar, you have to take a look. It is absolutely, positively wonderful. So the link will be in the show notes, and also in the show notes on my website if you're not listening here, if you don't subscribe to the show and you only listen once in iTunes or something like that. So, hey, what is all this bit about our government bothering the iconic Gibson Guitar Company? They are synonymous with Great American Instruments. Let there be beautiful music and leave our friends at Gibson alone, as well as all the other guitar builders who use rosewood. This is really a problem. I'm not going to get into politics. I'm not going to say anything else about it, but they should really leave Gibson alone. This week, there are two students in the student spotlight, I'm happy to say. The question of the week came from my student, the same student who told me about the Siqueira Lima duo, Hugo, and it has to do with asking me why I told him he cannot put nylon strings on his steel string Taylor. In the news is a local event about a Les Paul tribute concert and a museum exhibit. And in my take note topic, I'm going to cover whether you're really getting the result you want from your guitar playing. So that wraps it up for this week's intro. Let's move along to the student spotlight. In the warm glow of this week's student spotlight are basking two students, Arno and Julia. I'm not surprised that the two of you have risen to a level of personal excellence right at the end of the summer kind of lull time or halcyon days. Well done. Both of you had some interruptions to your practice regimens over the past few weeks, but now you are both back to a normal schedule, which portends even greater conquests for you both musically. Keep your focus, be self-disciplined, and I hope to meet you here again next week with hopefully a couple other students. Great, great job. I'm very happy with what you've done. Let's move along to this week's question of the week. This week's question is from my student Hugo, the fellow who turned me on to Siquiera Lima. A few weeks ago, he said he was going to put nylon strings on his Taylor acoustic, the guitar that I usually play when I teach him. I told him he can't do that, and his question was, why not? I'll elaborate. Steel strings and nylon string acoustic guitars only look similar. They are very different instruments. One of my guitars is something that was in the incinerator room of the high-rise in which I used to reside. We found it there with the bridge pulled off the body of the guitar because an ignorant person put steel strings on a nylon string guitar. It never ceases to amaze me that people want to make guitar-threatening changes. A steel string guitar is braced inside the body in a way that sustains the very high tension placed on it by tuning steel strings. There are degrees of tension which have to do with the diameter of the string and the pitch to which it must be tuned. A steel string acoustic guitar also has a truss rod in its neck. If you look inside your guitar in the sound hole and look toward the neck, where the neck is joined to the body, you can see the truss rod adjuster that a little Allen wrench is used for, used to adjust that steel truss rod if your guitar neck warps a little bit or if the action has to be lowered. This truss rod assists the wood of the neck to withstand the tension exerted on it by tuning strings to pitch. This contributes to the weight of a steel string guitar. If you hold a steel string and then you hold a nylon string, the nylon string guitar feels extremely light because that steel rod isn't in the neck. It's not that the woods weigh that much different. So, because there's so much tension on the strings of a steel string guitar, the strings vibrate far less than the more loosely tensioned nylon strings. Therefore, a steel string guitar bridge is much lower than the bridge of a nylon string guitar. Okay, so you got the idea. So the strings of the steel string are much tighter, therefore they vibrate less, therefore the bridge is lower and we call it action. The distance between the string and the neck of any guitar is called action. Low action is the most desirable for playability, provided that the degree of lowness doesn't cause buzzing when a string is played properly. I hope you're following me. You got this picture. Well, a well-made steel string and electric guitars have low action if the guitar neck isn't warped or otherwise compromised. So, you know, you guitarists that are listening, anybody who's not a guitarist listening, I know this might just sound like rambling, but, you know, when you go to buy a guitar or you play someone else's guitar, I guess probably the second thing you notice, the first thing you notice is the girth of the neck and the actual profile of the stock that was used to make the neck. But after that, what you notice is how it plays. And by that, I don't mean the sound that you make, but the effort necessary to depress and fret a note. And that is attributed to by how low that action is aside from the tension of the strings. Okay. So, a well-made nylon string guitar has a much higher action because their strings are much wider and much more loosely strung than the steel string guitars have. Therefore, they require much more clearance room from the neck. So a low action on a nylon string guitar is a considerably higher set than low action on a steel string guitar. Okay, so we've got that distinction. So if one puts nylon strings on a steel string guitar, the strings will buzz from hitting the bridge while vibrating because the bridge of that guitar is set low because ordinarily the strings on there are very, very tight and not as slack comparatively as nylon strings. Okay? So if one puts steel strings on a nylon string guitar, the bridge, if you can even get it up to tune, it's very likely the bridge may pull off or you're going to really damage the lower bout of the guitar where the bridge is connected. If that doesn't happen, the neck may also crack at the heel where the guitar and the neck meet behind the fingerboard. So, a word to the wise. Don't change the kind of string your guitar's makers recommend. Now, I'm not talking about brand here. I mean, if your guitar comes stock with brand A string, I'm not saying you can't use brand B of the same type of string. I'm talking about the composition of strings. If your guitar has steel strings on it, when you buy it, don't put nylon on. You're going to only have to take them off and put steel on. Vice versa, if you have a nylon string guitar, you will probably damage it by putting steel strings on it. Okay, thanks for asking, Hugo. You would have been a really unhappy dude if you put those nylon strings on that Taylor, and you would have had to just restring it. If you have a question for me to answer and you are not one of my students, please email me at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please notice no tutor in the email address. It's guitartechnique@gmail.com. If I use your question, I will contact you and be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. That's it for this week's question. Let's take a breath and move on to the news. In the news this week, there's a hyper-local event I'd like to speak about. There is going to be a benefit Les Paul tribute concert, and it's going to benefit the Mahwah Museum, Mahwah, New Jersey Museum, and the Ramapo College Music Program, also in Mahwah. Les Paul was a local resident. I'm one town away from Mahwah, so I'm kind of tuned into these very local happenings here. And this is going to be a lovely event. The benefit concert is going to feature Bucky Pizzarelli and Louis Paolo, local musicians who have been around for a while, know these two icons' names. Bucky was a longtime friend of Les Paul, and he played with him at local clubs in the 60s and 70s. Louis Paolo joined Les at Fat Tuesdays and later at the Iridium as part of the Les Paul Trio. The Mahwah Museum is going to open its Les Paul exhibit on September 25th. There is also, depending on what city you live in or town, there is also a raffle of a Les Paul guitar that was signed by all members of the trio that's going to be raffled. And again, those proceeds are going to go to the museum and the music program at this college. I'm going to do what I can to get to the exhibit. I will definitely discuss it on my podcast. If I can interview the curator of the museum, I will do that and have that as part of our show the week following September 24th. I guess we're talking about, that's a Saturday is the concert, Sunday is the 25th. So hopefully I'll be recording it on the 26th or thereabouts. So the prices for tickets are not astronomical. They're $30, $27, and $24. They are available online or at the box office. The box office phone number is 201-684-7844, and I will have the link to the website regarding this up in my show notes this week. Les Paul was truly an innovator. And if you have ever played or if you own an electric guitar, you owe a huge amount of thanks to Les Paul's futuristic ideas and concepts, because he is pretty much the grandpa of electric guitars and kind of the inventor. I don't know if he can take 100% credit, but surely 99.7. That's it for this week's news. Let's move along to the Take Notes segment. My Take Note topic this week is a general comment rather than a pinpoint topic. The comment is about getting the desired result when you play. Sounds like a simple thing. If it were simple, though, everyone would be a great guitarist. It isn't a simple thing, but it's really worth pursuing and being a little edified about. I hope your desired result is coming closer and closer to consistent excellence when you play, whether you play rhythm guitar, chicken picking, country, blues, jazz, classical, flamenco, metal, or any other genre. If that's the case, I want to speak to you about a few playing issues I observe with my students as well as in the general guitar playing public. They fall into three sort of general categories: form, technique, and time. Assuming that you have learned to play already or you're working under the guidance of a competent instructor, here's a checklist for you to mull over. If you find you have a deficit in one or more of these areas, it's not a bad thing. It just means that there's room for a new outlook, or for improvement. I'm getting a little tongue-tied here. I'm really under time constraints, so excuse me. Okay, let's take the first one. Form. What in the world is it? Well, it's how you play. Not whether you're awesome or lame, but rather things like, are you holding the guitar in a way that benefits your playing the most? Is the guitar sliding off your lap? That's a real problem for some of my female students who are a little petite. A piece of chamois cloth, or the stuff you put under rugs so they won't slip, will take care of that in a second, and then your attention can be spent not being split over hanging onto your instrument and trying to execute whatever you need to execute. Does your instructor continually ask you to reposition the guitar? If so, you're either not listening to how it should be held, or you're sitting on something that doesn't allow you to hold your guitar properly. I have just been visiting this issue with my student Lanny. She was having an awful time holding her guitar properly until we finally found exactly what she should be sitting on for maximum control over her instrument. I mean, we had to move around her whole house. And finally, we got her seated where she should be, and presto, she's got her guitar, no problem, it's not sliding around, and it's like she's a new student. So you got to pay attention to things like this. Are you having to support the guitar neck with any part of your left hand or arm? I mean, is there upward tension so that you can hold the neck up? If so, it shouldn't be that way. Change how you sit or where you sit, or change the guitar. If you're small, maybe you're trying to play a dreadnought and it just isn't a resolvable issue and you need to replace your guitar. I mean, that sounds rough, but if you're playing a guitar that you can't hold on to, you're going to have to borrow a guitar or spend some money. There's no point in playing an instrument you can't hold. How's your posture when you play? You shouldn't be hunched over. And I know every guitarist that's listening just sat up straight, because we all tend to hunch a little bit. But then you say you can't see what you're doing if you're sitting up straight. Well, then the guitar is not at the proper angle when you're sitting up straight. You get the idea. Form is not something you should ignore. It can make a significant difference in your ability to play well. If there is a quote-unquote recommended body position for when you're playing whatever type of guitar or genre that you play, and I don't mean recommended by the last concert video you had, I mean recommended by someone who can competently show you what you should be doing, that's the position you should be in. I find the greatest infraction is with classical players. I mean, they should have their left foot on a rather high footrest, and the guitar needs to be, the lower bout needs to be between their thighs, and the guitar neck has to be at a, not quite vertical, but rather vertical. And it's a very strange position until you've played long enough to see the virtue and merit of why you're holding the guitar that way. So pay attention to things like that. Technique. This is pretty obvious. Some form and technique issues sort of overlap and are hard to separate, but I guess the distinction is that technique is the finer articulation of playing. Like, does your pick, if you use one, come up off the strings by inches with every note you play, or does your pick just clear the string and remain between the string you just played and its neighbor string? If not, you will hit a wall in your advancement. You've never seen an accomplished guitarist with a pick held high in the air when they are playing. Yours shouldn't be there either. Is your left hand palm touching the neck of the guitar when you play? In most cases, it shouldn't be. Okay, if you have 4-inch long fingers, maybe, but for most players, their attack is going to be optimal if it's vertical or near vertical. It can only be vertical if the back of your hand is on a somewhat parallel plane to the fretboard. Not perfectly parallel, but close. Definitely not perpendicular, which is the plane it's on if your palm is on the neck of the guitar. Do you know and use correct picking for the kind of playing you do? Alternate down-up picking is not universally preferred or necessarily correct. Do you pay any attention at all to what your pick is doing? Are you splaying your fingers when you play melodic lines? By splaying, I mean, rather than using the tip of your fingers for fretting, the first joint of your finger lays flat against the fretboard. This is a notorious third finger problem for some guitarists. I suppose they have enough strength and dexterity in their 1 and 2 fingers, index and middle, but that ring finger, the 3, often wants to lay down instead of stabbing the string. The pinky's guilty too. Be careful. It's crummy technique and really bad for your finger. I mean, I don't know which is worse, the technique problem or that you're really going to be straining your tendons, ligaments, and whatever else you've got in that little tip of your finger when it lays down and presses as opposed to attacks vertically. Your left hand should be in the shape of a C most of the time when you play. So that's a good giveaway. And if you feel the neck against any part of the palm or the heel of your thumb, you're likely playing with very bad technique. If you play with your right hand fingers, are they alternating as they should be for your genre? Do you keep increasing the speed of your metronome to stroke your ego, even if what speed exercises you're working on aren't perfect at a lower speed? That's, a lot of people are sneaky in private. You need to be disciplined about this. I know it all seems like a lot to be bothered with, and you're right, it is, but without being aware of how you can play your best, your playing will not likely climb out of the pit of mediocrity. Then there's that all-important issue, time. Time, what in the world is that? Yeah, that's what I'd like to know. Seriously. A lot of people who say they want to play or play better just don't commit the time necessary to their guitars. Could it be that simple? Yeah, it really could be. There was a time in my career as an instructor when my concern for the amount of time my students put into practice involved that they maybe skipped a day occasionally. Well, they're still skipping days, but now my concern is about how much time they put in on the days they actually do practice. What used to easily be between 30 and 60 minutes for a beginner player is now down to 20 minutes if they're quote-unquote lucky. More advanced students should be spending an hour or two playing, and they barely breach 40 minutes. It's just not enough. I mean, I know this is the era of nanosecond attention, but if you're going to master the instrument, You have to spend time with it. There's just nothing that is the silver bullet that will replace repetition and time for a musician of any instrument. It could be the guitar, it could be the piano, it could be the oboe. It doesn't really matter. You've got to put the time in. If this is a challenge for you, make an appointment with yourself or try to do it the same time daily. Or if you're on some kind of rolling schedule, do it the same time each Monday. And on Tuesday, whatever time that is, always do it that time on Tuesday and make it part of your life schedule. I mean, I have a complicated schedule. I understand. I live on one of those. But if you say you love your guitar and want to master it, and you're not spending time playing, you don't love it or don't want to master it enough. So I hope these thoughts on the impediments that are common to derailing aspiring guitarists have brought a thing or two to your attention so you might adjust your thinking, form, technique, and time. Now let's move along to the outro and wrap this baby up. Okay, I made it through the 10th anniversary of The Worst Day I've Ever Lived, and although each anniversary gets harder and not easier for me, we're getting through. Guitar-wise, there's still no EL00 for me to review for you. I will try to play one for a review as soon as I can find one out there in the real world, as opposed to in cyberspace. Check out the Siquiera Lima duo playing Tico Tico if you want a simply sublime experience. Congratulations to Arno and Julia for playing excellently this past week. I hope you'll have more company in the glow of the student spotlight next week. Hugo and listeners should not put nylon strings on your steel string guitar and vice versa. Guitarists and Les Paul admirers in the northern New Jersey area, get your tickets for the Les Paul Tribute Concert at Ramapo College on September 24th. Proceeds will go to the Mahwah Museum, which will open its Les Paul exhibit the following day. Mahwah is the next town for me, and I am going to do what I can to get to the concert and to the museum that weekend. If you think your progress is at a standstill or hampered, maybe it's an issue of form, technique, or time. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 049 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled the traditional way, GUITARTECHNIQUETUTOR.com. And you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your questions for the Question of the Week segment. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I tweet personal guitar news to update anyone following me and retweet what I see on Twitter that is interesting. I am not on any social media constantly. I have other things to do. If you modify your Twitter time, you might gain practice time and your playing just might improve. On my homepage and podcast page of my website, you'll find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways, and or to subscribe to the show notes by mail or a reader. And for the time being, I'm going to keep that available as a subscribable service to those of you who just want to read and don't want to listen. I don't know what its future is, but right now it's still available. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glenrock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best, and my number is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you are a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time.